Everyone, I actually have two things that I'm going to read to you tonight. The first is something I wrote a few months ago, and then I went back and did a little more work on it recently, and you'll see why I've chosen it when I read the second thing. So this is something I wrote about Inauguration Day, January 20th, 2021. Making exception to the no laptops at meals rule, I watch as I finish breakfast. Call my dad to see if he's watching too, a continent away, in the nation of my birth, almost locked down in his assisted living apartment. Age 94, waiting for the vaccine. We heave a sigh and say, Trump is gone and good riddance. Comment on the weather in D.C. Flurries of snow, wind blowing the women's hair. Kamala Harris takes her place as a triple first woman. Jill Biden as first lady will not quit her teaching job. The camera pans the crowd, chilly, sober behind their masks, a grim outlook with the National Guard at the perimeter. Neither the falsely claimed greatest crowd ever of 4 years ago, nor the truly greatest crowd ever of 12 years ago. My dad tells me there are flags on the lawn for all the people who've died of COVID. I'm not sure what he means. Then I see them fluttering in the wind down the center of the mall, and suddenly I choke up, thinking one of them is for my mom, whose ashes lie untended on my father's desk. My heart cracks in kinship with all those families. Later, I'll read online that the flags, those flags, represented all the people who would have attended if life were normal. I suppose my dad was a bit muddled, as he is more often now. Later, I'll see news clips of the 400 lanterns lining the Lincoln Memorial Pond for the 400,000 dead. Later, I'll find a video of an installation in November of small white flags on a broad green lawn, the death count then just over 200,000. A man with a shock of white hair and a Santa Claus beard, looking so much like my cousin, who lives near D.C., hard to tell with his mask, planting a white flag on the lawn. I'll imagine that one has my mom's name, and May 4th, 2021. Oh, that's wrong. 2020. The inaugural dignitaries process in, words of welcome are spoken. Reference made to the mayhem 2 weeks earlier. Lady Gaga sings the national anthem. Jennifer Lopez sings, This Land is Your Land. Woody Guthrie stirs uneasily in his grave. But when she fires defiant words, Una nación bajo Dios, indivisible con libertad y justicia para todos, he nods in assent. Then a black woman, fire captain from Georgia, steps up in full uniform to lead the Pledge of Allegiance in a clear, strong voice. I hardly hear the words, absorbed in the movements of her hands signing the pledge, white gloves against navy blue uniform. I don't read ASL, but her spare, graceful gestures go straight to the heart, liberty and justice for all. And I weep for my mom and the other 400,000 who need not have been so many. It's been over 50 years since I stood side by side with Bobby McAiken, one of the two black kids in my high school homeroom, but never in German, in my high school homeroom, among the stoves and sewing machines, but never in German chemistry or trigonometry. He and all the rest acquiescing, me refusing to pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States, rogue nation of America, one nation, not under any God I could believe in, who would countenance what was certainly not liberty and justice for all. And still today, if I must be a citizen of a nation, I retain my American vote to have some small say. I take my Canadian place to offer some small sanity. But my first allegiance is to the great earth and all beings, purple mountains, fruited plains, sea shining sea. So, just a couple of days after I worked on that piece a little more, in one of those synchronicities that happen sometimes, I read a chapter from this wonderful, wonderful book called Braiding Sweetgrass. Some of you probably know it, by Robin Wall Kimmerer. The subtitle is Indigenous Wisdom, Scientific Knowledge, and the Teachings of Plants. She is a botanist, a wonderful writer, and a member on her father's side of the Potawatomi Nation, the First Nation from the area that's now northern New York State. And her chapter is called Allegiance to Gratitude. And she received a call from her daughter's high school teacher saying, I thought you might want to know that your daughter's not saluting the flag in the morning. And Robin, in preparation for a discussion with her daughter about this choice, went to a school in the Onondaga, another First Nation near where she lives in northern New York, and a school for Onondaga children, small school, and learned that they, at the beginning of the and the end of the week, recite what's called the Thanksgiving Address. That's what it's called, the Thanksgiving Address. And this is a traditional prayer or invocation, statement of gratitude. It's kind of pledge, it's kind of a pledge of allegiance. And these children recite it, and different age groups take turns doing it. And there's a little bit of a call and response. So I'm going to read this to you. It's a little bit long. And at the end of each paragraph, I'm going to ring a bell, and then you can join me in saying, "Now our minds are one." Okay? We won't be able to hear each other, so we'll just cope with that. Okay, so this is how it goes. Today we have gathered, and when we look upon the faces around us, we see that the cycles of life continue. We have been given the duty to live in balance and harmony with each other and all living things. So now let us bring our minds together as one, as we give greetings and thanks to each other as people. Now our minds are one. We are thankful to our Mother, the Earth, for she gives us everything that we need for life. She supports our feet as we walk about upon her. It gives us joy that she still continues to care for us just as she has from the beginning of time. To our Mother, we send thanksgiving, love, and respect. Now our minds are one. We give thanks to all the waters of the world for quenching our thirst, for providing strength and nurturing life for all beings. We know its power in many forms. Waterfalls and rain, mists and streams, rivers and oceans, snow and ice. We are grateful that the waters are still here and meeting their responsibility to the rest of creation. Can we agree that water is important to our lives and bring our minds together as one to send greetings and thanks to the water. Now our minds are one. We turn our thoughts to all of the fish life in the water. They were instructed to cleanse and purify the water. They also give themselves to us as food. We are grateful that they continue to do their duties, and we send to the fish our greetings and our thanks. Now our minds are one. Now we turn to the vast fields of plant life. As far as the eye can see, the plants grow, working many wonders. They sustain many life forms. With our minds gathered together, we give thanks and look forward to seeing plant life for many generations to come. Now our minds are one. When we look about us, we see that the berries are still here, providing us with delicious foods. The leader of the berries is the strawberry, the first to ripen in the spring. Can we agree that we are grateful that the berries are with us in the world and send our thanksgiving, love, and respect to the berries? Now our minds are one. With one mind, we honor and thank all the food plants we harvest from the garden, especially the three sisters who feed the people with such abundance. Since the beginning of time, the grains, vegetables, beans, and fruit have helped the people survive. Many other living things draw strength from them as well. We gather together in our minds all the plant foods and send them a greeting and thanks. Now our minds are one. Now we turn to the medicine herbs of the world. From the beginning, they were instructed to take away sickness. They are always waiting and ready to heal us. We are so happy that there are still among us those special few who remember how to use the plants for healing. With one mind, we send thanksgiving, love, and respect to the medicines and the keepers of the medicines. Now our minds are one. Standing around us, we see all the trees. The earth has many families of trees who each have their own instructions and uses. Some provide shelter and shade, others fruit and beauty and many useful gifts. The maple is the leader of the trees to recognize its gift of sugar when the people need it most. Many peoples of the world recognize a tree as a symbol of peace and strength. With one mind, we greet and thank the tree life. Now our minds are one. We gather our minds together to send our greetings and thanks to all the beautiful animal life of the world who walk about with us. They have many things to teach us as people. We are grateful that they continue to share their lives with us and hope that it will always be so. Let us put our minds together as one and send our thanks to the animals. Now our minds are one. We put our minds together as one and thank all the birds who move and fly about over our heads. The Creator gave them the gift of beautiful songs. Each morning they greet the day, and with their songs remind us to enjoy and appreciate life. The eagle was chosen to be their leader and to watch over the world. To all the birds, from the smallest to the largest, we send our joyful greetings and thanks. Now our minds are one. We are all thankful for the powers we know as the four winds. We hear their voices in the moving air as they refresh us and purify the air we breathe. They help to bring the change of seasons. From the four directions they come, bringing us messages and giving us strength. With one mind, we send our greetings and thanks to the four winds. Now our minds are one. Now we turn to the west, where our grandfathers, the thunder beings, live. With lightning and thundering voices, they bring with them the water that renews life. We bring our minds together as one to send greetings and thanks to our grandfathers, the thunderers. Now our minds are one. We now send greetings and thanks to our eldest brother, the Sun. Each day without fail, he travels the sky from east to west, bringing the light of a new day. He is the source of all the fires of life. With one mind, we send greetings and thanks to our brother, the Sun. Now our minds are one. We put our minds together and give thanks to our oldest grandmother, the Moon, who lights the nighttime sky. She is the leader of women all over the world, and she governs the movement of the ocean tides. By her changing face, we measure time, and it is the Moon who watches over the arrival of children here on Earth. Let us gather our thanks for Grandmother Moon together in a pile, layer upon layer of gratitude, and then joyfully fling that pile of thanks high into the night sky that she will know. With one mind, we send greetings and thanks to our grandmother, the Moon. Now our minds are one. We give thanks to the stars who are spread across the sky like jewelry. We see them at night, helping the Moon to light the darkness and bringing dew to the gardens and growing things. When we travel at night, they guide us home. With our minds gathered as one, we send greetings and thanks to all the stars. Now our minds are one. We gather our minds to greet and thank the enlightened teachers who have come to help throughout the ages. When we forget how to live in harmony, they remind us of the way we were instructed to live as people. With one mind, we send greetings and thanks to these caring teachers. Now our minds are one. We now turn our thoughts to the Creator or Great Spirit and send greetings and thanks for all the gifts of creation. Everything we need to live a good life is here on Mother Earth. For all the love that is still around us, we gather our minds together as one and send our choicest words of greeting and thanks to the Creator. Now our minds are one. We have now arrived at the place where we end our words. Of all the things we have named, it is not our intention to leave anything out. If something was forgotten, we leave it to each individual to send such greetings and thanks in their own way. Now our minds are one. So, Robin Kimmerer tells us that there are different versions of this Thanksgiving address. It's an oral tradition, and so it's adapted and changed according to the occasion. Sometimes it's shortened, and she says sometimes people get a little restless listening to the long version, especially lawyers, she says. And don't know what lawyer she's referring to. But I was really moved by the thought that children recite this in school. And that is their Pledge of Allegiance. And can you imagine if that kind of Pledge of Allegiance were adopted and taught and spoken in schools around the world? It would change our world, wouldn't it? If we had such wide allegiance and deep allegiance and thanksgiving. So that's what I wanted to share with you this evening. And I wanted to invite you to take, I think we have time, if you have something to write with, I'm going to give you a few minutes to maybe just write a few lines of a personal Pledge of Allegiance. You know, we have our vows, we have our Bodhisattva vows, which are very, very much in alignment with this sense of pledging allegiance. But what would you, how would you word your personal Pledge of Allegiance? How would you, if you were a teacher, share that with children or with your children or grandchildren? So just take about 5 minutes to grab something to write with if you can, or you can just do it in your mind, and just sketch out a little list of what you might include in your Pledge of Allegiance. And then I'll divide you into groups, and you can just share a little bit with each other. Okay? So I will call you back in just a few minutes.